sure that he sensed the burn of excitement in her mind. To be free of him at last, to be a true Sith, that was all she had ever wanted, and she deserved it. She knew that well. Not for nothing had she slaved this last decade and more, to the detriment of all else. Lima Zandret is dead. Axe suppressed even the barest hint of regret as she turned and left the shuttle, dragging the quivering informer behind her. Part 5. Fatal Alliance. Chapter 31.
"Did you have to bring her back with you?"
Lorin whispered to Ula as she escorted the passengers of the Auriga Fire to the Commoner's conference room.
"I don't trust her."
The envoy adjusted his collar as though he was feeling too hot.
"No choice, I'm afraid. Darth Kratos was insistent."
"Well, he didn't offer to put one of us on his command deck."
"I suppose he wouldn't offer, given the choice. And I'm afraid I didn't think to ask. I thought the Sith would be valuable as a hostage, that's all."
"I suppose she will."
Noticing Ula's discomfort, she forced a smile.
"Hey, look, I'm not saying you didn't do your best. I'm just glad you got us this far. No one else could have done it."
She patted him on the shoulder with her prosthetic half-hand.
"Thanks," he said, looking embarrassed. "I'm glad you think so."
She couldn't help a smile. His social awkwardness was both touching and puzzling. How had anyone so clumsy ever risen so high in the Republic administration, let alone survived an audience with a Dark Lord of the Sith? Perhaps Darth Kratos had taken pity on him. That seemed rather unlikely. The Sith apprentice, Eldon Axe, walked steadily between Master Satil and Shigar, surrounded by an entourage of businesslike soldiers, all holding rifles at the ready. Her wild-haired head was held high, and she took each step as though fighting the urge to spin and fight. She was like a wild animal, held barely in check.
"I don't trust her," Lorin repeated. "And I'm good at reading people."
Beside her, Ula cleared his throat, but said nothing. The meeting was uncomfortable from the beginning. Captain Pippolidi's crest was a deep purple, and her basic difficult to understand, as was often the case with Ankhs, whose voices tended to be so deeply pitched that they bordered on the subsonic. Shigar swore he felt his ribcage rattle on a couple of occasions. The captain first ordered all non-essential personnel out of the room. Lorin was one of those, and Shigar caught the hurt glance she shot him. There was nothing he could do about it, though. He had no power here.
"Colonel Gurin had no opportunity to confirm his succession plans to me," said Master Satil. "But I know he had the highest regard for you, Captain Pippolidi. He would be glad to know that the fleet is in reliable hands."
"May it remain so,"
the captain growled, with a sharp look at Eldon Axe. The implication was obvious and twofold. Many in the military harbored hard feelings for the Jedi after the events leading up to the Treaty of Coruscant, when the Order had been deliberately trapped between the Empire and the Mandalorians. The closing of that trap had left the Republic divided over the role Jedi Knights should play in future conflicts. Some even went so far as to mistrust the Order entirely, preferring to leave them out.